listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
The Pool Players, Seven at the Golden Shovel. We real cool. We left school. We lurk late. We strike straight. We sing sin. We thin gin. We jazz June. We die soon. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Blackout Tips on the Blackout Tips with your host Rod and
Karen. I was trying to snap, but my fingers is wet because I showered, so I ain't quite get to snap. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I've been doing a lot of premium shows and stuff, and I basically was about to say on the premium podcast network. So we all out of sync this morning on this Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes,
that's right, niggas. I'm planning on watching. I'm a coon. I'm not gonna be with the calls today. Y'all got it.
Y'all got all of it.
I will be tuning in to see Thomas Brady anointed to the throne for the sixth time, or maybe the upset of the decade and Nick Foles cementing himself as the premier quarterback to get in the offseason. I don't know what's gonna happen, but
right, them winning will make them look like we made the best purchase ever.
Yeah, nobody, it's not like anybody expects them to win, so Philly ain't got no pressure, you know. At any rate, guys, you can find this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
a taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. We have a couple comedy albums. We do audio plays and skits. You can find them on iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, Amazon, wherever you get your music. Search The Best of Rod and Karen, or you can search Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. Cop the albums, check them out, let us know what you think, and we appreciate everybody takes time to do that. You can also sponsor us through our other sponsor, which just remembered I gotta find some sexy music. Hold on. yeah, you can also sponsor us by checking out adamandeve.com, the more sexier of our sponsors. Let's see, how about this? That's right, guys. It's almost Valentine's Day.
Hey!
And you can make your Valentine's Day one that you'll both never forget. Or yourself never forget. These ad copies are always kind of suggestive, but I'm just saying, it's a lot of things out here in the world. With this amazing offer from AdamandEve.com. Through Valentine's Day, you'll receive 50% off of just about any item. And all you gotta do is go to adamandeve.com and you'll find thousands of adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, and a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs. Don't sleep on adult DVDs, y'all.
Come on, don't sleep on them. They're professionally done.
Mm-hmm. You know what you're getting. It's right there on the cover. You already know who's starting it.
You won't be fooled by the names.
Mm-hmm.
Or the descriptions. You'll be like, this ain't quite what you told me.
And there's more. With every order, you'll receive our romance kit for free. Free 99. Our romance kit includes a toy for him, a special massager for her, and a little something we know you'll both enjoy. And I say, look, fuck the gender dynamics. Mix it up.
Come on.
Put his toy on her. Put her toy on him. They, them, everything in between. Put it on yourself.
And you ain't even have to use the 5-finger discount. You can use that discount on your friend and your toys.
Mm-hmm. And you can throw 5 fingers in there. I don't know what you into.
Come on.
Plus a free adult DVD to put you in the mood. And that's not all. Oh, no. They'll also throw in free shipping on the entire order. How have you not already done this? Okay. It ends Valentine's Day. The whole deal changes. So check out adamandeve.com today for the special Valentine's offer. Get 50% off of one item, a free romance kit, and free shipping when you enter offer code TBGWT at checkout. That's TBGWT at adamandeve.com. Play me out.
Every little bit, every little piece, every little part of me. show you my love. Just can't be beat. No, baby.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Alright.
That's old school right there, boy.
Mm-hmm.
That's that Power 98 up at 3 a.m. in the morning jam.
There was a rumor that Justin Timberlake's halftime performance was gonna have a Prince hologram performing with him. And the word on the street is that him and Prince weren't even cool in real life. Like, they actually had a little bit of beef. So people was rightly upset, you know, which is, you know, Prince. Jay-Z kind of rapped about it on 444. He talked about how Prince didn't, how the people in charge of Prince's estate were just selling shit left and right for no reason.
Right. Prince was like, when it comes to Prince, Prince wanted to be independent. He didn't want to be quote unquote trapped underneath a lot of the business industry. That has a lot to do why he changed his name to a symbol and separated himself. He wanted that independence. Mm-hmm. And his thing was, you know, he went to Tidal for a reason. He wanted to go there for a reason. And Jay-Z was like, hey, everything he represented, y'all selling his shit is almost opposite of everything he fought and stood for.
Mm-hmm. So obviously there was a lot of negative reception to that, being Prince is a black icon, being that him and Prince weren't cool in regular life. So it was like, yeah, you can't do this, you know what I mean? Like, and so according to this morning, the plans for that have reportedly been scrapped also. And it makes sense too, because if you can't find a black artist that will co-sign this, like I said, if you can't get Jay-Z or Janet or whatever the fuck your plan was to get up there, like, I really think Janet was the only way he could even get some level of.
Yeah, and I know he wouldn't bring her.
Right. And so, well, she officially said that this morning.
Right.
And so, Janet's not coming. Jay-Z's like, I don't want to, they offered him to perform and he said no. So now you have Justin Timberlake using the hologram black person, which I assume is like how racist people had a black friend. Maybe hologram Prince is all the racist people black friend, when they be like, I'm not racist, some of my best friends are black, hold on, let me hit the switch, you know.
Like, yeah, they don't want a real black friend.
Hologram owned. What you think about Martin Luther King? See, he can't say anything. I kind of wanted it to happen anyway, just for the fuckery of it, to see, because the timeline would have went, woo, it would have been a good roasting.
Right, and my thing is, just for the simple fact that it was considered, it even got leaked, is a problem in itself.
Yeah, according to the latest reports, though, it got scrapped. So it's not that he wasn't going to try to have it, it's enough of a response from people was like, this motherfucker done lost his mind, so he scrapped it. Which I don't know. I mean, how do you scrap something a day before the Super Bowl? You know, that's wild. But anyway, apparently it's not going to have it in there. So,
right, which means you basically got to scramble for a whole fucking brand new halftime show now.
Yeah, I think someone should hack the hologram machine and make it Janet Jackson's Pierce nipple titty. Just a big ass titty right there in the middle of the Super Bowl. Like, we still got you, bitch. Like, can Anonymous do that? You know what I mean? We need some Mr. Robot level hacktivists to just put Janet Jackson titty in the hologram machine. Like, y'all can't escape this. Black titty, the scariest thing in the world, apparently.
Apparently it is.
Mm-hmm. Waited my whole life to see that titty, and y'all sullied it with y'all's indignation. But yeah, that was the latest update on that shit, so. But I'm still looking forward to Super Bowl anyway, just to see.
I'm here for the commercials.
Yep, and we cooking. You know, I'm making some clam chowder for New England, and I'm making some Philly cheesesteak nachos for Philly. So it's like we bringing the best of both worlds together, and we gonna grub. So
that's what eating. I'm here for eating.
Right. So I'm looking forward to it. Before we get into the show, I also like to drop a couple of random thoughts. One, This show is dedicated to all the people who follow the first step of instructions on the microwave food, and then they throw the box in the trash, and then they gotta go get the box out the trash because they forgot the second step of instructions. That's who this show is dedicated to. Y'all welcome.
I've done that before.
We do this for y'all, okay? And I think we all know. I think we all know
who you are.
Who we are out here in these worlds.
I've been at a minute. I'm like, fuck, now what do I need to do next?
I've been watching The Runaways on Hulu, streaming it, binging it. I like it.
Okay.
The parents are stupid, but I like the show. I'm pretty much everybody's stupid, but the teenagers get a pass because they're teenagers, but the parents are horrible super criminals. At any rate, I appreciate that Hulu gives you enough time between episodes to go take a piss. You know, Netflix is just like new shit, new crack. 1, 3, 3, 2, 1, go, let's go. Like, soon as no credits, nothing.
Put like this, while the credits is running, the other show is like down in the corner waiting to tune up, and then all they do is swap places.
Right. But Hulu gives you like 30 seconds to a minute, you know, to let you hop onto the next one.
They understand.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'll make it to the end of this episode. I gotta take a leak. Thank you. I appreciate y'all. And the last one before we get into these articles is that, you know, people always talk about colorism. And a lot of people think colorism isn't real, which I think is ridiculous. So I don't know how we could get to that. We'll talk about some more of that in this episode, but colorism is real. But if you call somebody a colorist, you're basically saying that they work in the comic book industry or they work on hair. We have to have a better word for other than colorist.
We got to have a better word.
I don't fuck with her. Why? She's a colorist. What? What book she work on?
I know. Marvel, DC, let me know. Independent, Image, where we going?
Can you recommend some of her work? Like, I need, we gotta come up with some better descriptions, man. I don't know.
Maybe like, what's the line she work at?
Color racist, maybe? I don't know. Maybe,
You're not gonna get the response you want.
Yeah, let's workshop this, guys, cause colorist is taken, okay? And it's and I don't want y'all messing up the word by making it mean that somebody's
right, because there are a lot of great people out there that's coloring shit like, I am not with that bullshit.
Like, keep me out of your shit.
I'm just painting whatever colors that I'm asked to. I don't care nothing about this other bullshit.
All right, let's get into the news. Probably terrible. Yep, and it is terrible. Looking at it right now, guys. Rose McGowan, who actress, activist, she has a book that's coming out. A lot of people give her a huge amount of the credit for the new Me Too movement. Obviously not the originator or anything, but she was the first person to say something about Harvey Weinstein, and that started the ball rolling.
Is that the lady we seen on The Daily Show the other day?
That, yes, she was selling her book there. Now, she is like, she grew up in a cult. You know, she's was, you know, raped by this powerful man, had a lot of people in Hollywood cover up for her, a lot of people ignore her cries and sort of gaslight her. I know she's pretty eccentric and stuff like that. And then also we've covered on this show where she's like said like racist shit in tweets and stuff. Like, she ain't exactly your intersectional woke academically trained feminist. Like, mm-hmm. She's not that at all. She's very white feminism TM. She's very much, this thing happened to me and I'm the one that matters
to me, right?
And you guys should all basically be thanking me because I'm the one who's the hero here, and fuck everybody else's story, essentially,
right?
So she got herself in some hot water. She was at a book signing and she ended up being heckled, or heckled is the right word. I mean, I know it was a protest of sorts, but it's also like the venue they heckling was the method of protest, right? So she was giving like talking about her book, and there was a transgender woman in the crowd who was angry about her, Rose McGowan's, like, transphobia. She had an appearance on RuPaul's podcast, or I think it was RuPaul's podcast.
Yeah,
someone's
RuPaul
podcast.
Does have a podcast.
Yeah, it was a podcast where apparently she said some stuff that was transphobic. And so she was basically questioned by this woman. She shouted at Rose McGowan and then was escorted out. The transgender woman's name was Andy Deer. But yeah, she was escorted out by security. But her remarks set McGowan on a minutes-long profane rant where she spoke about being raped and strangled and claimed Investigation Discovery was a network dedicated to women's deaths. The following day, the star took part in an interview with prolific reporter Ronan Farrow, where she claimed for the first time that she had been raped as a 15-year-old by a well-known Oscar-winning actor, as well as by Harvey Weinstein, as she's been a legend for years. After that appearance, McGowan, who was the star of a new documentary about her advocacy work and how she's been part of the Me Too movement, canceled all her public appearances. And I think here's like a minute of the video. See if I can play it for you guys.
Sit down. Enough. Don't get lost.
I am a woman and trans.
Congratulations. So am I.
Genocide. This is the AIDS crisis all over again.
Sit down.
I don't know why.
Enough.
Don't
get lost.
I am a woman and trans.
Congratulations. So am I.
Genocide. This is the AIDS crisis all over again. And it is white, cis.
Shut up. You're so boring. Don't label me, sister. Don't put your labels on me. Don't you do that.
Don't worry about that.
Do not put your label on me. I don't come from your planet. Leave me alone.
One of the weird parts is the people that get upset about being labeled cis. That's so weird because, I mean, it's a defense mechanism for people of privilege, right? It's like, why, it's like how white people think saying white people is racist sometimes,
right? That's how they're responding, right?
You're like, white, that is racist, because if I said black people, and you're like, first of all, black people isn't racist and white people isn't racist, but you don't want to be labeled. You want to be just a person, and everyone else is a variant of a person. It's
correct.
A black person, a Korean person, an Asian person, a Latinx person. It's everybody else got a label, but you just get to opt out, right? Nah, you're a white person, you know, and there's nothing offensive about that. Mm-hmm. That's how cis is. Cis, heterosexual, heteronormative, these are just labels, but they're not pejorative. You know, they become pejorative when you're exhibiting certain traits of privilege, but they're still just labels that are there to define something. They're not there to put you down. You exude that behavior, and you would be, by the way, you would be a white cis feminist even if you weren't practicing white cis feminism, if that's, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
You can be like, there's a reason that white cis feminism is labeled as so bad. It's because of reactions like this, you know, the inflammatory rhetoric, the anger, all that shit. So, yeah, let me finish playing the video though. And of course it wants to pause now. We'll take it.
I do not subscribe to your rules. I do not subscribe to your language. You do not put labels on me or anybody. Step the back. What I do is for the world, and you should be grateful. So shut the up. Get off my back. What have you done? I know what I've done.
So, another thing, the people clapping, nah. You know, and I think it's that thing, remember when we talked about it when the black woman was on, like, The View or something, and she talked about, or was it The Talk? Anyway, she was on one of those shows, and she was talking about why she voted for Trump, and how, and she talked in a certain cadence, and it made the, and the audience was like, yes, yes, and I'm like, she's literally saying fuck all y'all rights in there, fuck y'all
right.
Women,
are y'all even listening to what
I
she's
sold
saying?
Y'all the fuck out. But because she said it with like this authority and this cadence, people were like, yeah, can't nobody tell you what to do, you can do, it's your right to do. And it's like, nah, because if you was in here going like everybody here's a nigger, y'all wouldn't be clapping for this. Like, no. It's your right to call me whatever racist thing. You'd be like, fuck you, I don't care about your rights.
Come on.
It's only when you don't care about that group that she's talking about,
right,
that you can then pull away the empathy from them, put the empathy on her. Because white women love trafficking in fucking victimhood, where they can be like, I'm the victim here, even when I'm in a situation where I'm clearly being the aggressor, I'm clearly shutting down the other person, I'm clearly like, I mean, telling them you should be grateful. Like, telling somebody you should be grateful, like, for what?
Right.
You know, grateful that you would what? Write a book for yourself and talk shit about me and kick me out of the room?
Because I'm not receiving a dime of that money.
Right. What am I supposed to be grateful for? Especially when you don't acknowledge my specific sort of plight. Like, there's nothing to be grateful for. But, yeah, it's like, that's what I've done. It's like, what have you done that would make it so that I should tolerate your transphobia? You know what I mean? So that was the other thing. So then the last thing, it seemed like she is too raw to be out here dealing with this shit. And maybe the best thing she could do is shut down her public appearances and all that stuff, because
she's going to continue to get asked about that.
Right. And she later goes on to say that the woman was a paid plant by Holly. Like, it's like she has a lot of, it's just, she has a lot swirling around.
Right.
She seems very raw. She seems very reactionary. And I think doing something so public, talking about something so personal.
Right.
You almost have to be, not to say you have to be over it, but you have to be in a place where you understand what's going to come at you and how you can react to it.
Yeah. You have to be already prepared.
Yeah. It's not necessarily fair, but it's kind of life. It's like if I wanted to talk about racism and I put a book out about racism, but then in every interview when I was asked any question that I didn't deem to be like, you know, the perfect type of question, let's say I just started crying, I just started sobbing, I shouldn't be touring my book, because I'm not ready to talk about it really. If it's taking me back to a place where I'm inconsolable and I can't even communicate, I can't do what I came for, because you come there for a book reading. So now I can't even do the book reading that I planned on doing because I'm crying too hard or whatever, or I'm yelling too hard, or I'm too disturbed by this person. And like, she goes on to do several other interviews because, you know, press tours are very much like boom, boom, boom. And let's say she brought it up during other interviews, like the Daily Show interview and stuff, like, oh yeah, and they have these people that are paid to be heckle me and stuff. And I'm like, okay, all right, like, do you have proof of that?
Yeah, because when you make statements like that, even if you're right, people, just human nature, they're not going to believe you without proof.
Yeah, and why can't a trans person be upset with the things you said genuinely and not have to be paid for it?
Right, and it's for some reason when marginalized people are protesting about shit, we always getting some motherfucking money other than we just tired of the bullshit.
Yeah, so that was unfortunate, man, but that was kind of and then she does go on to turn on the audience too. Let me see if I can get it to play again.
Yeah, because she's mad, so everybody's in there.
We love you. Beautiful.
I'm not worried. I'm mad at lies. I'm mad at the stereotypes. I'm mad that you put on me because I have a fucking vagina and I'm white or I'm black or I'm yellow or I'm purple.
that yellow purple that's like classic white people shit.
yeah
that's that classic white people shit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was
Alien and Margin, you know, a Martian, and you're like, okay, bitch, okay, where are we going with this?
Comment? Yeah, it's that, like, I'm the real victim here because I'm the white woman, and y'all brought that up, that I said something racist. You know, like I said, people want progress, they want justice, up to date shit. Like, well, can we just get cishet white women they shit, and then after that, y'all can sit the fuck down? Because I kind of don't think trans women deserve any level of respect. I kind of don't think this black. I think I should be able to say nigger and point out stuff like that, and y'all don't say anything. Like, like I want my shit, but y'all shit, that's too much. And I'm like, you don't see how white men think that about you. Like, that's why white men don't want to help out cis white women, even, because they're like, that ain't my shit. Like, I'm more worried about my white male privilege. Let me get the same millions that these billionaires have, and then we can talk about what we're gonna do for your pay gap, and we can talk about your sexual exploitation. We'll talk about that when I feel it's appropriate. Like, that's not how it's gonna work.
No, that's not how it's gonna work either. And it's one of the things with oppression. It's people that are oppressed that turns around and oppress another group. And that's a lot of times, that's what this is. And at the end of the day, if you believe in the quote unquote food chain, when it comes to that, you're literally at the top of the oppressed group. Let's just keep that real. Yeah, quote unquote, we all oppressed, but you're the closest to the top. So at any time, you can opt out. A lot of people cannot opt out. They have to live these things every single fucking day. And they don't get to roll into their whiteness. They don't get to, you know, go behind go into whiteness and just hide behind it and put that up as a shield every time somebody says something to them they don't like.
Yeah, like, she probably just can't be the spokesperson for whatever this is.
No,
she, you know, like, it just don't seem like she ready, because this is gonna be part of the gambit. And if this is gonna be the response, one, it's gonna keep people coming at you, because now they know what kind of response they're getting. And then two, it really confirmed everything people suspected.
Right.
And it makes it easy to dismiss your specific message, not the message in general.
Mm-mm.
But people can dismiss you now because they feel like, oh no, this person's just crazy or blah blah blah. And I still feel sad and kind of like, I feel empathy for her even despite that, because it's what people, I think what people don't realize with this public eye shit is, it is very difficult for someone to navigate this shit when they aren't classically trained.
Right.
When they're not activists by profession, and they're fucking up on the fly as it's being successful on the fly. And people makes people heroes and make people leaders that aren't ready to lead and didn't ask to be your leader.
Come on.
You know, with this Rose McGowan shit, you know, one of the fucked up things about this is she got kicked off of Twitter. And a lot of white women rallied behind her and had this like day of like, we're not posting on Twitter. And they got Jack, the guy who, the CEO of Twitter, to come out and like, we got some new rules. And they kind of, you know, like, got appeased to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And they did all this for Rose McGowan out of some level of solidarity.
Right.
Despite, and I'm skipping over the amount of many, many women, including many women of color, that they ignored along the way to stop at Rose McGowan and say she's going to be the one that we all rally behind. But what they didn't think was, are we rallying behind a person that we can truly support and uplift like that? Because she got kicked off for like putting out people's personal information, and like rules that are on Twitter that you're not supposed to violate.
Right.
I'm not saying that she was, I'm not saying it's fair. Like, what I'm saying is, like, because there's been people that have done that to other people and not been kicked off. Clearly, they kicked her off because she fucked them. She's talking about very powerful, rich people, and she's putting their information out there and whatnot. But no one stopped to think, like, well, is she going to be the person that we can really unite behind? Because regardless of how you feel for her, she could never be in charge of any movement that would involve anyone but her and women exactly like her. Cause she don't give a fuck about nobody else.
Right. And this is an example of her showing that she doesn't care about these other groups of people outside of straight white women. Like this is the only group of people that you're concerned about, and a large percentage, not that other white women didn't, a large percentage of the people that support you were straight white women. And a lot of times when it comes to this, people don't really care about if you're ready, if you suited. People just feel like I feel like I should be doing something, and I feel like I should be supporting something, and I should support this cause.
Right.
And fuck you not being ready. You're not being prepared. You may not be mentally, you know, ready for it. None of that matters. So you put it in the forefront. And the thing that really kills me, a lot of people assume that famous people, quote unquote, want to be famous, or famous people are seeking to be famous. Like a lot of people believe like that's their end goal. Well, sometimes that's not their goal.
I mean, we've seen being famous drive people crazy.
Right.
And attention drive people crazy. Well, and then, so people were saying like, well, she just needs better people around her, or someone got to tell her to just chill out. I'm like, y'all don't know that she don't have those people. One of the things that always happens in the mix, we assume people don't have quote unquote people because they go out and make decisions that they want to make. You know, to me, not to bring it back up, but this, it goes back to the whole like Monique's husband thing, where I'm like, y'all say that, but y'all also say that like Monique's not the star. And if she had other representation, like, she wouldn't be like, listen, motherfucker, I'm gonna make this video because fuck Netflix. You riding with me or you getting fired? What do you want to do? You know, like, we don't know that. We assume that, like, well, he must be bad. He must not be doing. But same thing with stuff like this. We assume she must not have people. Maybe she got people. She don't give a fuck what they say.
Right.
Because she gonna do what she do. On Twitter, she said, I'm canceling upcoming public appearances because I've given enough. I've given beauty in return was verbally assaulted for 2 full minutes by @BNBuzz by a paid actor, by an actor paid to verbally assault a woman who has been terrorized by your system, and no one in that room did anything. I don't know what proof she has that person was an actor and she was paid. And everyone from my publicist, assistants, managers, and everyone sitting in their chairs frozen by their weakness, a weakness called complicity. The truth is, you all failed me again and again and again.
Right. So everybody's at fault. You have no control over your own personal behavior. You're the one with the microphone, which means even you're actually louder than the person yelling at the stage. So you were in control of the situation. You lost control. Take responsibility of that, because this is not an apology, and you're not taking responsibility for your actions, and you're blaming everybody else around you. So it looked like she got people and she just didn't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. She got people. They were there. She thinks they are at fault. I don't know what they were supposed to do. Punch the person?
Stand up and say something? Right. Couldn't nobody heard them.
They clap. People even clap for you, which I think was wrong. But people even clap to be like, we support you, we love you. And she was like, no! Y'all weak! You know, I would like an apology from the manager of the Union Square, at BN Union Square, New York, and all security people and the audience who did nothing and let the paid verbal assault of an assaulted woman happen. Cool. So she want an apology. Yeah. She don't apologize. She want an apology.
No, that's not, she might get an apology from the person who run the venue, but the other people know you're not getting no apology.
She tried to read her book, I think. Later, but
she kept
going off on that woman,
right?
For having been there. See if I can.
The most dangerous place you can live in is a place that I call.
Oh God, that's an ad. I'm sorry. But I'll try to. Once I skip this shit in 3 seconds, we'll see if we can get to her book reading part of this thing, but. Yeah, like she couldn't really.
Trans women or women, what I've tried and been trying to say is that it's actually identical. The stats are not that dissimilar. You break it down, it is a smaller population. There's not a network, however, devoted to your death.
So if you peep what she's saying, she's like, I'm not saying trans women aren't women. I'm saying they are women. But I'm saying your plight compared to cisgender women is not that much different.
Oh, right. She didn't.
Right. And because I guess mathematically in her mind, she thinks because it's a smaller population of women.
Because she thinks it's a smaller population. Right. No, nobody knows.
Hold on. It probably is. That's okay. But I'm saying her math is fucked up.
Yes, it is.
Because she's going, it's a smaller population of people. So therefore it's a smaller problem. What if you do actual math and you look at it statistically, it's much, much more dangerous to be a trans woman, especially a trans woman of color. It is much more dangerous. That doesn't mean it's not dangerous to be a cis woman. It doesn't mean that men aren't dangerous. It doesn't mean any of that. It doesn't take away from your plight to not be the number one victim of something.
Right.
It doesn't. It doesn't take away at all. But because people view victimhood and activism on a scale of who's the most marginalized, that's the person who should be the one speaking. Well, then you create this power structure where people are like, well, no. We need to find a way to put my shit on top then. It's like, well, why? Now it's a competition. It doesn't have to be a competition. Mm-mm. You can tell your story and write your book without having to come at somebody else for having a different story or a different plight than yours that may be more concerning. That if by the nature of me being a trans woman, I have a much higher chance of dying, that might not be a thing you can control, but it doesn't have to be a thing you won't acknowledge. And that's what she fucked up to me. Like, and then to say like, well, there's a whole channel dedicated to the ID channel, just dedicated to women's murders. I agree. There's a lot of men murdering women TV shows and shit like that. I mean, there's a lot of murder TV shows anyway, right? But in general, men do murder women so much so that you can make an entire program, a channel. You can make an entire channel of programs dedicated to that shit. That doesn't mean that trans women are not being murdered at a higher rate. It doesn't. Both of those things can be true at the same time, and you don't need to be disrespectful about one because it's not your experience. And that's kind of the fucked up part, is to be like, well, there's not as many of you, so basically fuck your plight. I don't even know why you mad about me being transphobic. There's not as many of you, so you should just give up on that. Like, that, I think that's fucked up, you know? I thought that was stupid. Let me see if I can play it again.
There's not advertisers advertising tampons as a camera goes lovingly up a girl's body as she's being raped and strangled. Piss off.
Okay, so I think that is her saying, like, in the ID channel they'll have ads for women and the show is about someone being murdered.
Okay,
but I don't get what that has to do with the criticism she received about being transphobic. So
you can collect that check back up.
Yeah, and then I guess that's a reference to, and you must have been paid to do that. Then she went on the Colbert show afterwards and gave a kind of an off-kilter interview, according to, you know, people that watch that shit. So, I don't know, man. It just seemed like she way too raw to do this. And I'm not saying that's if people want her to kind of, I just feel like her message is going to get, always going to get lost if she, this is the reaction she's going to have. Right. I'm not saying
she's always going to have pushback. And the thing is, she's coming out speaking her experience, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is that you can speak your truths and I can speak my truths, and you don't have to shut down my truths just because there is different from your personal experience. Right. And that's where people's complaint and about her will continue to stay right there until she acknowledges that you telling people that they should be thankful and grateful, that's a motherfucking problem.
Yeah, it's like if I said something homophobic and someone called me out about it, and instead of me even acknowledging what I said being fucked up or anything, I went, well, there's a whole TV show called Snap dedicated to women killing straight men, so before you even come at me about some hate crimes, maybe you need to look at TV, honey. And it's like, did you just completely switch bait and switch the whole fucking conversation?
Yeah, she did.
Like, that's kind of how I took it. Like, did you just act like that? No one thought that was what are you doing?
No one thought that was the same.
What are you doing, dog? It's okay. There are other problems in the world. Not all of them you're making. Not all of them something you can do something about. But you also don't have to disavow and dismiss the problem. You could just be like, okay, well, you know what? I let me work on that. You know, let me hear you out. Because the part that is, I guess it's just how humans are, but the part that's so weird is like, your entire fucking campaign right now is saying hear us out. That's the god damn it, that's the entire campaign of what you're doing for a living, is saying hear us out. And then you basically say, but I won't listen to anyone else, only I should be allowed to speak. And that shit is, that's where you're gonna end. And I,
there's no us then.
Right. And I absolutely empathize and understand. And I get that in the heat of the moment, being heckled and shit. I'm sure it's fucked up. And that's, and that's level, that type of heckling or protest, that type of protest is designed to get the response.
Correct.
Like it's designed to antagonize. But your response to that antagonizing says a lot about you. Like, you didn't have a measured response. You weren't prepared. You, like, it was very much, you know, going off the handle and just confirming everything that people have been saying about you. And that was sad. Anyway, tolerance takes a hit. America's less accepting of LGBT people in 2017, survey shows. Wonder what could have happened.
Shit.
Wonder what could have happened that make people be more vocal about their lack of tolerance, which is already a loaded word, but we'll make them so
the lack of
tolerance
it was never there. People knew that before Trump got voted that they would be called out, they would be shamed, they would be dragged or whatever, canceled, whatever you want to do it. So people have always felt this way, you know. That's why it's funny how people are always shocked and amazed, quote unquote, when racism rears its ugly head. Racism never went away. Sexism never went away. Homophobia never went away. It's always been there. These people have been quiet because the country was going in a more progressive manner. Mm-hmm. But the second these people voted and these people put who they wanted in office and the person they wanted in office sent out all these signals, passing all these laws, doing everything to tell them that what they feel and the emotions that they've had for centuries or decades, some of them, is free to say these things because you have a president that has publicly came out and said racist shit. He's publicly came out and, you know, has had affairs and fucked porn stars. He's publicly came out and done a lot of shit. And any other president would no longer have the presidency. Any other president, they would have tried to impeach almost immediately. But, you know, because he is letting them do what they want to do, you know, almost like the substitute teacher coming in and be like, y'all do whatever the fuck y'all want to do. Yay, we love substitute teacher. That's how it is. You know, we can do whatever the fuck we want to do, shit we've been wanting to do for years, because we actually have an advocate in the office. And he actually lets them know, and he validates their feelings. He validates their vote. So it's going to be hard going forward, in my opinion, to tell these people to go back in the closet and don't say shit no more. They're not going back without a fight. People don't understand this. They're not going back without a fight. Like, it's going to get really, really, really ugly.
Yep. According to this, fewer than half of non-LGBT adults, 49%, said they were very or somewhat comfortable around LGBT people in certain scenarios, according to the Accelerated Acceptance Report released Thursday at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. That number was down from 53% in 2016. The survey conducted by the Harris Poll on behalf of LGBT media advocacy group GLAAD reflects an about-face from positive momentum reflected in polls GLAAD has commissioned since 2014. The other part of this is not just the U.S. Globally, people are being much more emboldened by homophobia. Politicians are running on bigotry and conservatism. Like, this is a problem, man. And with attitudes trending positively over the last, like I said, since 2014 or whatever, to take that big of a step back says something about the impact of these global changes.
Yeah, and also it speaks in whole of the human, human nature, you know, because history repeats itself. And once you get an understanding of history, you understand that these same things happen with slavery. These same things happen with the Voters' Rights Act. These things happen with civil rights movements. You move forward, motherfuckers cut a fool and push back by creating laws.
Sorry.
No problem. By creating laws that will quote unquote still allow them to be an authority even though you've passed law. Like they go, we don't give a fuck about your laws. We'll pass shit individually to still keep oppressed people oppressed.
Right.
You know, because the thing is in our country is built on lies and people don't want to admit that, particularly white people. Our country was built on things that, was never promised to people. Everybody wasn't promised, the right for liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Everybody wasn't promised that. There were people that were actually not free when this shit was written. You know, everybody, you know, wasn't promised these things. When people go, well, that bullshit that was written then were written by white men. What their sexuality wasn't relevant. They were written by white presenting men at that time. So these laws didn't include me, and everybody wants to act like something wrong with you by pointing out the fact, the truth of these laws were not really written for everybody. And you know, there are groups of people now that are considered white. If we go back in history, you initially were never considered white, you know, but now you're considered white. They embraced you and bought you into their whiteness. So now you're looking at these other groups like, you know, they ain't shit when you were just like us at some period of time.
Yeah, but this is about sexuality even. This isn't even just like race. This is like, you know, the presumption, I guess, at the time would be most of those men presented as straight men.
Yeah, that's what I said. They presented. Don't mean they were.
Right. But it's like this is a resurgence of hatred. Like this isn't just a... Well, we never put these laws on the book. We've had progress in these areas. We've had a lot of progress, considering, you know, what we started from, you know, arresting people, jailing people, killing people for being gay. And in a relatively short period of time, we've made tremendous leaps of in certain areas and in certain countries and stuff, to then see people's attitudes take this shift backwards after a long fight of progress, you know, in such a short period of time. That's truly scary, because one, you don't know where the negative progress is going to stop, and then two, that it didn't take long to slide back.
Right. And it didn't take long to slide back, because it never went away. Like that's my thing. This whole thing never went away. It was always there. It was always festering. Yeah, we passed laws, but it don't mean motherfuckers wasn't racist. I can't call you nigga no more. I can't hang you by a tree. But what I can do is do these other things. So you still let me know how you felt about me without actually hanging signs, without burning a cross in front of my house. So these oppressed feelings have always been there. And within the past few years, people have been coming out of the woodworks with feelings that they have been feeling for centuries and decades. So yes, as soon as they get a chance to come out the closet, they will, and they're going to push back. And the thing is, you have to have people that's willing to push against that for this progression, because it's like a give and take. It shouldn't be, but it's give and take. We go a little bit further, you feel ashamed, so you drop it, but it don't mean that you still don't feel the same way that you've always felt. You just can't do the same things anymore, so you reinvent your oppression and your racism in other manners.
Yeah, oh, we agree there. I was just saying that, you know, it's wild how quickly it's changing back. All right,
because I feel like they got a green light.
Right, it's really just it mattered. These, you know, I don't want to get a same speech, but these is one of the reasons that these elections matter. It just is. You know,
come on, when people were saying all this shit matters, and
right, it's bigger than just
you, yeah, as an individual person. It is really a lot bigger than it is. And I think that a lot of people, in my opinion, particularly here in the United States, was not ready. But I always knew it was a possibility he could win. I never thought that anything was guaranteed. That's why people go out and vote.
Yeah, but this is worldwide too. Like, it's elections everywhere that mattered, and it was just like a mass, like, I'm getting too uncomfortable with all this progress and all this pushing shit. And, and a lot of people that are progressive just got lazy and outthunked themselves and was like, I also am tired of things not being perfect, so I quit. And it's just right. Like, you watching the world burn because everybody just got tired of fighting.
Right. And the thing is, some of those people that don't care, you can continue not to care, but the people that are being marginalized, those people eventually, like you say, poor people and marginalized people and people on the end of the spectrum both have nothing to lose. So once you have a group of people that's tired of this, it's going to be a resistance, and the resistance possibility may get violent, and that's something that people don't want to talk about either. Eventually this group of people are going to get tired of being oppressed, and they're gonna be like, fuck you and fuck these laws, I'm tired of being oppressed.
I don't think they will get violent. I think that's actually the mass miscalculation that people have made, just because a lot of people that are super progressive, that's what they think. It's like, well, we just, that's why I want Trump to win, because then we're gonna have a revolution, and we're gonna show him, and we're gonna, like, it's gonna get so bad that we're gonna get violent, and we're gonna prove to him we're gonna take over the country type of thing. I'm like, that's, none of that seems real.
And you know what, I guess for me, no, I did not want him to win. Like, this is not the result. But I know oppressed people, if people get desperate enough, put it like this, if people get desperate enough, I think there will be some form of resistance. Because it's human nature. Nobody wants to be oppressed forever.
I'm not saying it won't be resistance, but resistance for Americans is like putting on a pink pussy hat and marching, Garen. It ain't no fucking get a gun shit. It ain't no take down the country shit. Not with the people that are pissed off. Not these people. You know, you think them pink pussy hat motherfuckers about to go do something?
No.
Right, but nobody else.
Not them.
Okay, who else? Go
not
ahead.
Not them people. But you mean.
So LGBTQ people, you think they're going to get violent? Who are the people? Like, we're talking about a group of people that have, that don't even, like, they don't do that. That's all. You know, even when it comes to black folks, we don't have Black Panther niggas waiting in the wings to go get everyone armed and put on black and stand in front of schools and shit. That shit is over. It's not coming. Like, the time for that to exert our power was in that voting booth. That didn't happen, and now we're seeing what true human nature is. Motherfuckers talk a good game, they not gonna do shit. All the people that predicted some type of mass revolution and revolt, where are they at? They not even talking no more. They don't say shit. You know, they stay on their Twitter accounts and they tweet shit, but no one's in these fucking streets. Like, that shit was a pipe dream. So I don't think there's gonna be violence. Oh. If anything, the violence is coming from these emboldened ass bigots.
Agreed. And maybe it's just me, and maybe I have the way I look at it, but I don't see an oppressed group of people just sitting around rolling over and be like, fuck it, just oppress me till I die. That makes no sense. That makes no sense to me. And maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Maybe we have a whole generation of people with not a lick of fight in them. We have a whole generation of people that ain't about that violence. We have a whole generation of people that's like, fuck it, whatever happens, happens. I'm willing to roll. But it's one of those things where people are mad and people are angry, and that anger ain't going nowhere. And that anger eventually, in my opinion, is gonna come out, and it's not gonna come out in a good manner. I don't know how and I don't know when, but people aren't gonna just sit around and just be oppressed forever. I logically don't see that happening. If that's the case, you know, why did people fight in the 70s and 80s? Like, maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Why did people fight in the first place then, if the recycle was going to repeat itself? Well, you're right back to square one again. No change happens without violence, period. People don't want to admit that. Yes, and I do agree, a lot of people ain't about that violent life. I do agree with those people, but those people were never about that in the first place. But you mean to tell me there's nobody, no one, nothing, nobody willing to take the call and stand up and be like, fuck these niggas, I'm tired of being oppressed?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Nobody's coming to help. Nobody's gonna organize. Nobody's gonna change shit. People talk big, they don't do shit. That's what I'm saying. Like, in this, and because oppression changes forms, resistance changes forms. So you're not gonna have even when you talk about the 60s and 70s, you talk about violence, that was mostly black people taking state sanctioned violence and embarrassing the world with the violence happening to them. Not the other way around. That wasn't black people fucking up shit. We were like, it was so fucked up then, and it still wasn't niggas like, all right, let's go fucking shoot up City Hall, like, let's go make a point, you know what I mean? Like, it's like Big Boy said, I think it was Big Boy, when he was like, oh, maybe it was Andre, but he was like, nigga, they got the, when he's talked about people having guns, and he was like, they got them gats, but they got some shit that'll blow out our backs from where they stay at. That, like, that's some real like, you might feel anger, you might feel like I'm gonna get this gun and I'm gonna change something, but in general, it's not like, I don't see that changing. That's not the kind of change it would take. The work that it would take to actually fight these policies and to fight these attitudes is much harder work than even having a gun. It's much harder work than even being violent and killing people. Like that dude that shot up that Black Lives Matter rally, do we even remember his name? He shot all those police officers. What changed? You know, that's violence,
right? And the thing is, I do agree that it's almost like it has to work twofold, you know. And you know, maybe it's me and maybe I got too much hope and faith in people, but you know, it's one of those things to where marginalized people will get tired. Like I said, I don't know, I feel like human nature, if you get beat enough, oppressed enough shit taken from you, you're left with absolutely positively nothing at all. You ain't got a motherfucking thing to lose. I mean, like I said, maybe I have too much hope and faith. Maybe we are in a generation where people are like, fuck it, let Trump do whatever he wants to do, we don't give a fuck, let's just let them do whatever they want to do, and we're just gonna put this stuff in the street and it don't fucking matter. Nothing we do ever matters, because like I said, that's what I'm getting from you. Everything we do serves no purpose and it serves no reasoning right now.
Then you're completely just not even listening to what I'm saying, because I didn't say that. What I'm saying is the ways you know what they most afraid that we would go do? Vote. Why the fuck do you think they have invested so much government power in making sure we can't vote? Like, that's not coincidence to nobody.
Right, correct.
The whole fucking system is rigged to make our votes not count. Right. Our fucking state is not considered a democracy. It was literally ruled not a democracy. That's the fucking fear. That's the fear. They're not scared of fucking, like, no offense to that dude that shot, no offense, that dude shot up those cops. They're not afraid of him.
No.
What they're fucking afraid of is that I'll take my black ass somewhere and stand in line and care so much that I'll be like, get this motherfucker out of office. That's what they're afraid of. You know, that's why the Koch brothers are investing billions of dollars in people's states. That's the fight. That is the harder fight. We can philosophize on the internet. We can fucking do this. Here's my tweet thread about none of that shit is changing the world in a way that makes it safer for people. None of that shit is. You know, we can argue about who got the most purity progressive politics. We can talk about Bernie Sanders being deified Hillary Clinton. None of that shit is gonna actually matter if motherfuckers don't want change. The people, like, having a gun or blowing something up or being violent or whatever, that's not the shit to me that's gonna change the current situation. Cause everybody is pushing down on not just black people, everybody that's not a white person is being pushed down. But none of us are united that way. So the whole,
okay,
like,
I agree.
So this whole idea that we're gonna organize and no, we're not. Because the same way that fucking Rose McGowan don't care about anyone that's not Rose McGowan, black men don't care about anybody that's not a black man, cis people don't care anybody that's not cis, even if they're being oppressed. They don't wanna talk about the damage they do to anyone else, they just wanna talk about their shit. That's it. So already we're already not united. We're not combined. The reason that voting shit works is because the simplicity of it. It's, well, okay, you might not agree that gay people deserve the same quality treatment as you, right? But you are a black person. Who you gonna vote for? Okay, you might not agree that black people and Latinx people deserve to be in this kind of, you are a white woman. Your abortion rights are up for, who you gonna vote for? How do we convince that person to not vote against their own interests out of hate for someone else, right? Or not, hate is in their interest too. But you know, my point being, like, I'm not waiting for the magical, like, Cobra army to unite. Like, nobody gonna do that shit. And people get tired of being oppressed, but what a lot of people just do is also human nature, you adapt to the oppression.
Agreed.
You start figuring out the way that you can circumvent these things. Surviving is never really been our, surviving is our strong suit.
Agreed.
And we can figure out ways to navigate systems of oppression and survive by making ourselves smaller, by making ourselves more self-reliant, by retreating away from certain areas. It does, but it's still like, it's still a fucked up life.
Yes, it is.
You know, as much as, like, I don't think it gets any more oppressing than slavery. And while there were revolutions in slavery, there's a lot more people just trying to fucking live to the next day. That's also human nature. And they're not cowards for that or anything, but like, they had to live. They had to find a way. They had to make sure their children could live the next day. They had to, like, it's just bigger than that. So I can, like, I don't expect there to be like a sea change in, among marginalized people to where they unite and arm up. That to me was the entire problem with the whole, when there were people that are like, I'm not voting because that's what's gonna come to pass. People gonna get tired of Trump and we're gonna have this huge revolution in America. And I was like, what movie are you watching? What TV show is that? That's not real life. We don't have anything that really shows that that's a possibility. The biggest war we had in America was the Civil War, and that came over greed. That was money.
Correct.
They didn't give a fuck about us. Still don't give a fuck about us. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't have the wherewithal to even impose the sanctions on the South for more than 8 years. They don't give a fuck about us. You know? And the same thing happened with LGBT people. Same thing happened with, like, it's almost sad when I look at DACA and the Dreamer Act. It's the people that are using that as a chip. And I'm not talking about politicians. I'm talking about people. The people who talk about that shit, that's a chip for them. You know, that's not, they don't actually give a fuck. You know, like that's why they say shit like, how many of these people are doctors and lawyers? And really, look at this article about how they broke up this one family and Jimmy Kimmel trots out. Look, these are dreamers and we're going to bring some Trump supporters and have them talk to them. And those Trump supporters don't give a fuck about those people. You know, but in low key, Jimmy Kimmel can't give a fuck about those people if he brought them and let them be subjected to that shit. You know, it was a way to win an argument in public debate to try to reach some hearts and minds. I'm not knocking him for that. It's definitely a technique. But to truly care about somebody, it's like, nah, I don't even want you to be around that. Why would I invite you to be disrespected by these people, right? To watch them disrespect your humanity to make a point to somebody else. Like, it's not that people give a fuck. What we hope is that someone will be so embarrassed by their lack of giving a fuck and how it looks that they will either be shamed out of voting, shamed out of oppressing people, or shamed out of like voicing it. You know what I mean? That's really all we lost in 2016, the shame.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? We lost the shame, but the conditions been quite similar for a long time. 1 year is not enough to change everything, but it's, the shame is gone. Bigots talk loud now. You know, they rally now. They not, you know, they don't feel bad no more. Like, you, how many articles we have, so-and-so said something racist to a student or something? Yeah, I said it. Like, usually a time when you're like, well, I would never say something like it was misinterpreted. Like, you lie, but at least you had the decency to lie. You know what I mean? Now it's like, I don't think I should get suspended. It was nigger music and it had a lot of cussing. Well, she's been suspended for 1 day with pay. She'll be back tomorrow. I just don't see, like, the parents in that situation not gonna go up to the school and shoot that teacher.
No.
Like, that's not, like, and not that that would necessarily change anything, but I just don't think we have it in us in general as humans to, I mean, not even humans, as people living right now, I don't think they have it in them to do all this violent insurrection type shit. I think for the most part, they didn't even have the wherewithal to get to a voting booth. And I think killing somebody and being violent, much harder than that for some folks, you know? So I don't know. I don't know. I don't see it coming. I mean, I hope you're right, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see it coming.
Yeah,
I'd much rather them take that energy, take their ass to a voting booth, though. I know that much.
Correct. And I think for me, you're going to see smaller subsections within this oppressed group actually fight. I really do. I think everybody ain't trying to be cool, you know, and some people I think eventually some people are gonna be like, fuck this shit, but I do agree that the overall totality of the group, most people know, the average person know, even in slavery, the average nigga wasn't trying to fight. It was a small percentage of people that was out there trying to make a change, and that's how it's going to be this time. A really tiny small percentage of people that are out there on the front lines trying to make a change. I do agree with the fact that voting is actually the new oppression. Like, taking, stripping away the right to vote is very powerful, and that's why so much money and effort and energy is invested into that. And that's why, you know, when people say, well, I don't want to waste my time or whatever to vote, like, then you get these results and people want to get mad and angry about it. But not voting actually contributed to these results, you know, just like the people that was, like we talked about before, that were just saying they were all the same and all that stuff. You contributed to these results. So, you know, I do agree with you for the fact that, yeah, there's a lot of people out there talking, but they not trying to really do nothing, you know. And actually, so all change isn't violence. You know, some change could be something as simple as starting a get out the vote. Some change.
Yeah, I mean, you're the one that was bringing up the violence shit. I'm not saying it won't be a fight back. I'm just saying it won't be that form. Like, if you think it's going to be people, like, taking up arms and doing shit, that's not, like, that kind of shit is momentary. It's like a riot after a person gets shot. It's momentary for a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? We haven't got to, at least as of yet, we're not at the Detroit riot level stage, where motherfuckers rioted for days and shit, shut the whole city down. We're not there yet. You know? And even with that, that's normally not what gets things to change. That's when they just bring in the military. We don't have the numbers. They got some shit, they got some guys that'll blow out our back from where they stay at. We don't have that, but we have some tools we can use to fight. But it's like, we too cool. It's almost like somewhere along the line, we got too cool to acknowledge that progress in that fight, that shit mattered.
It matters.
You know, we just got, I don't know. And maybe it's just my circle of people that I constantly see or whatever, but it's like, motherfuckers got too cool to be like, and I'm gonna take my ass up here and vote too. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm gonna show some support for the initiatives that I believe in as well, and I'm gonna hold people's feet to the fire that I vote for, because they will listen to me because they know they needed my vote. You know, at some point we just all went home. And I think more specific, and it's not just that people didn't want to vote, it's their votes were suppressed, but there was no fight to stop that, really.
Correct.
Like, it was like, it's a lot of shit going at the same time.
Yeah.
And overall, there's a willingness of mostly straight white people to be oppressors. There's just a willingness, and as long as we don't acknowledge that, then we won't unite in as a fight towards it, because there's some white people that aren't on that shit.
Mm-mm.
but as long as we just go, well, look, we fuck everybody that's not me, right? I'm sitting this one out, and I don't want to do that. As long as we just go, that's the rest of the shit doesn't matter, I feel like we end up stuck here. Like I said, I don't see these people talking no more.
Yeah, a lot of them has been crooked ever since.
What's Jill
November?
Stein talking about? What's Jill Stein talking about? You know, what the fuck is Lauryn Hill talking about right now? What they talking about? Nothing. They don't have nothing to say. That prediction of that revolution coming ain't happening. Bernie Sanders, I know we're not ready for no type of real revolution, because we call Bernie Sanders a revolution. You know, it's just not, it's not in our nature. It's not what's going to happen. But I think it's more feasible to say we can fight court battles. We can fight in the voting booth. We can get changed that way. But people got to want it. And I don't know how much people want it.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know. Maybe it's just a generational thing. Because the thing is, as people lose rights and as things are being stripped away, people in these groups that never thought they were going to be affected will eventually be affected. All this stuff they're passing for Social mm-hmm. Security, all this stuff they're passing for unemployment, all these new tax laws that they're passing is about to fuck up your taxes in the next few years. You know, yeah, you get money up front, but it's going to screw you in the long run. All these changes to 401ks and how much you can contribute. Like, all this shit that they're passing, a tax bill that nobody fucking could read, that was goddamn, the ink hadn't, they were smearing ink trying to read it. All this bullshit that they were doing, and they were presenting it in different types of ways. Your coal mine jobs aren't coming back, never are coming back, never will come back. And the programs that they had in place to educate you are probably in this package are stripped away. So now you have no jobs and you can't get reeducated. You know, a lot of people were sold a bill of lies that they believed, and they had the right to believe whatever they want to believe. Because I think a lot of times when people quote unquote feel better or feel good, they will vote certain ways regardless of the reality of the situation.
I just think all that being said, I don't know that they don't even know they won't be affected. I honestly think they think if I'm the last person to drown on the Titanic, I'm okay with the Titanic drowning.
Right.
That's how much I hate the other people on this ship. You know, long as the black people die first, then I'm good. As long as the gay people die first, I'm good. Like we all gonna die, cool, but just not before your black ass, not before you who immigrated to this country. As long as you're affected first, then I'll be okay. That's that hatred, man, and we've had, the country was founded on that.
Yes, it was. So, yes, it was.
You know, I don't mean to sound pessimistic. I just think the fight back is a much harder fight than any quick fix. I don't think it's by design that voting is the number one thing they don't want us to do.
Correct.
It's by design. It's by design that most groups who have, once they go been together for a while, right? Cause you always start super radical, super da 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 da. You rave and you make a lot of, scenes and shit. But eventually shit all come back to the same place. Hey, we need to start rallying people to vote. We need to start registering people. All these fucking groups. It ain't a coincidence. It's only but so long before you can be like, this is the system. It ain't, you know, people call it playing a game, but it ain't a fucking game.
No, it's not.
Like,
it's
this is the system. Death. At some point, if I want to change things, I'm gonna have to participate in this as well as on other fronts. But it can't, but as long as we just kind of assuage it or act like it ain't no big deal, or go, once everybody sees how bad it gets, we'll get socialism because it's so bad. I'm like, will mm-hmm. we though? Does this feel like people are gathering up to start some socialism to you, or does it feel like motherfuckers is just scared? You know?
Right.
Like people can clown that pink pussy hat march, but you know what they doing right now? Registering motherfuckers to vote and supporting women candidates all around the country running for Democrats. Like, ha ha ha, pink pussy hat. Don't put a pink pussy hat on Rosa Parks. I mean, Harriet Tubman. I understand. I agree.
Right.
Emotionally, that's fucked up. Da da da, triggering every word you want to put. Not even trying to fight about it. End of the day, I'm glad they're out there registering people to vote.
Agreed.
Everybody that attended that motherfucking march better be registered to motherfucking vote. Every one of them that can. Because I want to see it in the booth. They can't just be in the streets. Gotta be in the booth too.
Correct.
Or none of this shit matters. You know, I'm just waiting my time till it's time to vote again so I can get my ass in the booth where it fucking matters.
Agreed.
You know, I hope voting became important to people, you know, that thought it wasn't. I hope so. I think there's some people that are still very like showy with it, because you know it's very much like, I didn't vote, and let me tell y'all something. And it's like, okay, cool, you're the most radical person in the world, you win all the awards. But right. At the end of the day, I hope more people went, yeah, I don't like what I'm going through right now, and if I could prevent that by going to the booth, I wish I would go.
Right. And I agree, and I think I still think that there is going to be resistance and pushback. All of the resistance, I don't think it's going to be violence, but I do think some violence may happen. But I do think the bulk of the change is going to come from these, for working within the system itself, because the system is what it is and it can't be changed.
You know, you can work from within and without, but one of these things can't, like, one of these things gets dropped often. That's why the change in America goes forward and swings back, forward and swings back. We don't have a lot of stamina. We love showy, flashy shit, especially people on the left. They love a big show of progression, right? Like, we got a black president. They love that shit. You know what I mean? They love, like, the idea of something. But when I say, well, listen, the idea is more complicated. I'll give you a great example. When there's debates, the number one complaint about Democrats, their slogans, they don't have any catchy slogans. They got to learn to condense the idea down a couple of words. What you're saying is Americans are so fucking intellectually lazy.
Right.
They need a couple flashy words to vote. That's actually not a good thing.
No, that's not.
And that's not a politician's fault. That's our fault for being dumbass motherfuckers.
Right.
That's our fault for needing two words to go vote. If you bring up Obama to today, I still know stupid motherfuckers that talk about hope and change.
Yes, and yes we can.
I still know people who thought he was too professorial in his answers. I still know people who gave Donald Trump credit for putting together a sentence or two during a debate with Hillary Clinton who could have given you a motherfucking lecture on every point. You know, I still know the reason people gravitated towards Bernie over Hillary, it had nothing to do with her record.
Mm-mm.
That shit was legitimately, I simplified it down to I'm angry and the 1%. He had a couple things. That's actually not good.
Nope.
That's not good to be like, to be swayed by someone just saying free college. And we go, oh, free college, cool. Have you figured out how he's gonna do it? Have you listened? Like, let me ask you, explain to me what his plan is to get you free college. Look, man, all I know is I got these student loan debt. Cool. Like, that's not, that shouldn't be good enough. That is the reality, and I understand that. You know, I understand that that is the environment that these people are supposed to be running for office in. But I can also say that is fucked up.
Right.
And that's a failing on us in our school systems. It's a failing on us as human beings. It's a failing on us for wanting simple answers to nuanced, complicated, centuries long problems.
Right.
That shit is all on us. But the politicians are an avatar for which we can decide whether we hate or love them, like celebrities. Like, we can be like, this is all one person's fault. Like, even with this Trump shit, right? How simple is it? You talk to people, I hate Trump, 45, the orange this. Guess what, guys? He is the culmination of decades of fucking Republican ideals.
Right.
Nothing he's passing is his idea.
Mm-mm,
nothing.
Mm-mm. There's been shit they've been wanting to pass forever.
Every single idea that we think is repugnant, stupid, ignorant are things that Republicans support, but we're smart enough, quote unquote, to not say those things out loud.
Correct.
He won because he's a guy who says it out loud. That shit, and people didn't vote by accident for that.
No.
This is a guy who's telling you, like, nah, I don't really fuck with these black people. You know? Nah, you know, what's wrong with the alt-right? What's wrong with the neo-Nazis? I put something in my cabinet. I don't give a fuck about that. These are guy that says, hey, grab him by the pussy. That doesn't respect women. Says it's that time of the month if you have an attitude with them. People voted for that. That ain't that much difference from Paul Ryan to me.
Mm-mm.
That ain't that much like I'm supposed to feel like his tax ideas are different from these other tax ideas these white people have had for years. Like, nah, this is the culmination of that shit. So yeah, it makes us feel good to point at one person and say it ain't us. It's us. It's this country. It's the laziness of people that claim to be woke and against this shit that won't even fucking do anything, vote for it, anything. And then you have the fucking complicity, the willingness of the other side that really does want this negative stuff. They're not tricked. They're not voting against their interests. It's not a mistake. They think I like white supremacy more than I like being a woman who can choose whether or not she has a baby. I like that. You know, they got examples all over there. They got black people over there. I like the benefits of white supremacy more than I like acknowledging that slavery was bad or the historical oppression of black people. I like this, you know? So that's the shit that gets swept in the undercurrent of us talking about whether or not Hillary Clinton or Obama or Trump or Romney or what, like, that's just a person that's to a certain extent almost a distraction from the actual real impact of what American people value.
Correct.
Yeah, we value this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, it's it just gets swept up. By the way, they side got all the guns, so I don't even see us having no arm to anything. Like, them crazy people already got the guns. They sold out of bullets. They got them.
All the bullets.
You go get your first gun. They been ready to shoot your ass for decades at this point. Good luck and everything, but nigga, that's not... Don't be afraid, but go your ass to the voting booth too. That's all I'm saying. Like, go get you a gun and then go vote too. Like, what
at this point... Vote with a bullet.
At this point, what could it hurt?
Come on.
For nothing else, what could it hurt? Because we've seen what not voting can do in a short period of time. We still have 3 more years of this.
Come on.
It's a very short period of time. We have at least 3 more years of this, if not more.
I think more, because the American public is dumb, and he gonna win again.
So, I don't know, man. I hate to sound all old and black on this shit, but come on, man. Like, but yeah, anyway, that's a huge tangent from what we was talking about.
And people say we never disagree.
Yeah, I mean, well, like I said, I hope you're right. I don't take any solace in thinking that people ain't gonna strap up and fucking try to change the world, but
right, and like I said,
I don't see it,
and that's just me being hopeful. Like I still believe in hope, you know. I still believe in good and decency in people. You know, they don't always show it all the time, it doesn't always shine at all times, but I still believe that the average person has something within them that will speak up and stand up when needed.
Do you think they gonna vote though?
That's a whole nother question itself. I think that more people will vote if it quote unquote get bad enough for them. I also, in my opinion too, and also not to get off on a tangent, when you're talking about voting, a lot of people fail to realize, well, they don't fail to realize, and you talked about it, there's a lot of things, voter suppression happen. Mm-hmm. A lot of the laws that make you have to show proof of
voter ID laws,
and also people don't talk about it. You have a whole population in jail that immediately, once you get arrested, a certain crime,
certain states,
yeah. you lose your right to vote, which you should not lose your right to vote, right. Just because mostly you went to jail,
and disproportionately black and brown people in the jails,
right,
not allowed to vote, yeah,
right. So a lot of these things affect, and also something else, and I've been thinking, we one of the few countries that the day of voting is not considered a national holiday.
You know,
like something people don't talk about either.
Yeah, I agree. I feel you on that, I guess. But back to my question. You feel like you have more hope. And I'm saying, do you think they will get out and vote? Because to me, hope isn't them picking up a gun or being violent. Hope is them getting to the booth. And I do have hope in that. So I don't know that I have less hope than you. Maybe I'm more optimistic if that's the case. Because I think they will go vote. You know, but I think it's going to be spearheaded by a lot of people that put shit to the side, you know, like it's going to have to be spearheaded by people that stop worrying about people being the perfect person and being like, take your ass to the booth.
Right. Because you know? We all have the same cause, and, you know, people have to like, and I do agree with you. People have to understand that whatever your individual issues with somebody is, that's irrelevant. The bigger cause is, we need this change, and a lot of people aren't willing to put their personal beefs and gripes to the side. The only people that actually did were black women. If you look at the percentage of people, black men did too, but the largest group was black women to go, I don't like that bitch. No, she not perfect. I prefer another candidate, but fuck it, she better than the alternative. Mm-hmm. And everybody else hemmed and hawed, and I don't know, and just got stupid. And that's the part that irritates me, you know, when you deal with, you know, ignorant people, and everybody want to give this excuse. And the thing is, the biggest group is the white women. Like that's the group that you actually need to reach, because that's the group that kind of fall on both sides. You can run to your advantage when you need to. You can fall in this whiteness when you need to, because particularly if you straight, you know, a white man gonna protect your white ass. You don't got to worry about shit. You know, you marry somebody with money, a halfway decent, you don't have to worry about this shit quote unquote affecting you. Okay, they might strip your right to have a child. You might be having to have all these kids and all this shit. Might have to deal with a little bit of quote unquote sexual harassment, but at least I can roll in the whiteness, you know, and that's the biggest group of people that I have my problem with.
And even if they're not straight, like your daddy might be a white man, might have a white male uncle, like you can be gay and be a white woman and be like, I'm gonna still support white supremacy. But my point is though, that's why that march shit's so important. So I'm glad they did another one this year. So I'm glad they switching to getting women candidates and rolling out the vote. That who do you think that's reaching? To say that's 53%, that's the only way to knock it down. It's going to, and it's still going to be a small percentage, but nigga, that's better than what the alternative was. End of the day, a lot of these local elections and a lot of these like state elections and shit, that's where the change has to happen first, because everyone concentrating on Trump not mandating these things.
Mm-mm.
Like, he got the people that are Republicans that are absolutely voting his interest in and agreeing with him, and he's agreeing with them. Like, this shit is a big problem. It's a much bigger problem than this one dude. But we keep talking about this one motherfucker. It's why we have a segment on the show called That's Y'all Man, and we barely cover those fucking stories. Cause I'm like, it's white people. It's been more than him my whole life. You know, I hashtag not all white people, but that shit is a white problem.
It's a
white problem that has turned into our problem because white people don't police themselves. But that shit is a white people problem. You know, so we need these motherfuckers to vote Democrat. Period. Like, we need more of them to vote Democrat. You know, and we wouldn't even need this, by the way, if Obama had won in 08 and we got all this fucking suppression since then. Cause that was what scared the fuck out of them, was like, oh God, we didn't think this nigga could win. It's like, oh, he won, but part of the reason he won was cause people were getting to the polls and they were able to vote. And then they started restricting votes in 2008. 2012, he won again. They didn't think he could, but how many of those local Democrats, those state Democrats, lost even when he won?
Correct.
All of a sudden you have this groundswell. Like, it's not just the biggest that were activated, but it's the people that were no longer able to vote or no longer willing to vote. Because the other problem with the Obama shit is, for a lot of white people, and super like kind of bougie black people, it just wasn't as elite to vote for, it wasn't as cool to vote for Obama that 2012. It wasn't a hip thing to do. You know, now he is the establishment. It's been 4 years, and you know what? God damn it. I'm tired of this shit. He promised hope and change, and it didn't happen right away, and these Republicans won't work with him. Fuck it. I ain't voting no more. It's all bullshit. And it's like, okay, so what is going, you got this super progressive life or whatever you want to have, this world. What's going to be improved by not having Obama in office?
Right.
Oh, so you just don't give a fuck. Cool. Cause that's the only solution. You know, if it doesn't happen, all the shit you claim to care about is going away. So you just don't care. You know, we didn't get single payer health care. Fuck him. Okay, cool. So then no progress towards that. Don't elect anyone that could possibly push that goal, that rock up the hill a little bit. It's that kind of thing where I'm like, we don't have the wherewithal. And sadly, I don't think, not sadly, we're not getting to violence before they get to the booth. Get to the booth first.
Correct.
You know, maybe if you get to the booth, the only way I can see it being violent in this country is if people vote Trump out and Trump goes, I'm not leaving office, fuck y'all.
I can see that happening.
That's the only way I can see it being violence. And I'm not sure what side that violence will come from, by the way.
Ain't that the truth? Ooh,
for the record.
Ain't that the truth?
I'm not so sure where that would come from, but that's the only way. It ain't gonna happen because motherfuckers got fed up with, you know, I didn't get enough representation on TV, so I'm shooting people.
And I could see him doing that bullshit.
Yeah, that's the big fear, man. Man, we talked about this a long time. Hope this was entertaining. Let me go to the next session because we're almost at the break. So give me 1 second. We'll be right back, guys.
But it's something that, you know, I think needed to be talked about, you know.
Oh, nah, for sure. Like, sometimes it's the tangent that makes the show, really. You just never really know where the show's gonna take us. And that was from LGBTQ news, and we ended up into that discussion.
Right.
So I don't even know.
Everybody get 100. Everybody 100, 100, 100, 100 for everybody.
Right. But, I definitely agree there's gonna have to be some pushback. I just don't know what form it's gonna take. And.
Right.
I think we too soft for violence. We not. At least the people that are so mad right now, they too soft. What should we talk about, man? I feel like we kind of, you know what? Monique put out her, details to her Netflix deal. The offer they gave her.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there was a lot of lies going around. I didn't cover it on the show cause I knew it was bullshit, but some nigga named John Murphy or John Murray or something. He, put out a video talking about she got offered $3 million as long as she would audition, and she turned down the audition, and that's what really happened. And people shared that video, people were sending it to me, even like, Rod, cover it on the show, see. And I said, that's not proof. Like, that's not a good source either, you know. I can look at that and tell that nigga wasn't a good source, which is funny because someone told me that he has a history of saying like kind of misogynistic things about black women and shit in past videos. And I'm like, you know, this is that Facebook shit. People share anything, because the Monique shit was the biggest exercise in confirmation bias I've ever seen.
Yes, it was.
It's like, I don't like her, now let me look for things that back up me being able to disrespect her legacy. And that sucked. Anyway, she put out the fucking screenshot of the email. And the proposed terms, they were confidential, of course, so people moved the goalposts from this bitch lying to why she sharing this, she need a new manager, as opposed to I should have probably not called her a liar last week because that's the only reason she's sharing it. The optics of Netflix suing her over this would be terrible anyway, so I doubt they'll sue. But yeah, this is proof that, you know, it was, and it, the fucking terms were even worse than what you think.
I believe you.
Cause everybody thinks, oh, 500K, you know, just do the special, take the money, go about your life, for the people that were not on her side. Well, turns out, they were basically gonna, it was gonna cost them about, say, $300,000 to actually film it, right? Mm-hmm. They were gonna pay her $500,000, so the total would have been $810,000 for the whole shebang. But,
okay.
But, you know, I'm sure it cost $300,000 to film all the other specials. Mm-hmm. At any rate, they basically said that, Netflix will own the copyrights of the program, controls all exhibition rights. Totally normal. Makes sense. No location had been determined yet. Totally normal. It's early stages. Makes sense.
Right.
Netflix retains all the audio only rights, to the special. No problem. Makes sense. Like, you don't want me to take the audio from it, put it somewhere else, try to make money off of it. Maybe you put Netflix comedy specials on iTunes one day.
Correct.
Totally understand it. Makes sense. For 12 months after our premiere, Monique cannot tape or negotiate with any third party with respect to the next comedy special. After this 12 months, we get first negotiation, first refusal right for the next special. Okay, now see there, you got me fucked up. Because once I agree to this lowball offer, guess what becomes the baseline for the next special?
Right.
The lowball offer. So now in perpetuity, I'm gonna forever be fucking with the low money that y'all offered me. Low money I consider to be low only because I'm a black woman. Cause y'all also lowball Wanda Sykes. So now let's step away from just the I don't like Monique shit and get into the business side of it. It would be stupid for me to sign this contract thinking I'm being underpaid.
A lot of people, I realize a lot of people talk about shit. There's a lot of people out there talking. They ain't got no business sense and they would never get offered any of this type of money because your black ass ain't worth the money.
Yeah, someone hit me up and said, I'm looking at this. This doesn't look like a contract. Is it fake? I said, it's an email offer of a negotiation. It's not the actual contract which you sign and have lawyers look at and shit. It's just prerequisite, like these are the
and these are the things that happen up front before any paperwork is signed.
Right. Number five, for 24 months, so that's 2 years after our premiere, we asked that Monique, by the way, keep in mind, premiere, you can record this, that doesn't mean it's premiering anytime soon.
Correct.
Chappelle recorded his specials and that shit didn't come out, they came out like a year apart, you know, like it's not necessarily that you record it and then it's up on Netflix.
Mm-mm.
You know,
the editing and all kinds of shit that happened in the background.
So you're talking about actually more than a year and more than 2 years. Cause yeah. You're talking about recording it, putting it out. Then the clock starts for, you can't do this shit for two. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So for 2 years, they ask her not to perform or use the material from our special in any recorded program, audio only, audio visual or audio visual work. Then we ask, so you can't reuse any of these jokes. You can't, when you tour. So if I want to tour based off this special, I can't tour with these jokes. Right. For 2 years.
And my material now.
My material. For two fucking years.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Then we ask for a first negotiation, first right of refusal after the 24 months in the event that she does want to use the material elsewhere. So if I want to add my act back to my act, if I want to develop more of those jokes, any of that shit, I actually have to come to you and be like, how much do I owe you so that I can perform my jokes again?
So I got to pay for my shit. That makes no sense.
Right. Now, unless you're doing like a special every year, like Louis C.K. or whatever, most comedians not trying to burn an hour of material for the next 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Based off of what they consider to be a low ball payday. Like, you're basically hamstringing me right here, dog. You know what I mean? Like, some of these bits last in people's acts for 10, 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you know enough about comedy, and you might see a comedian and they mix and match, they do stuff and they're trying it out.
It evolves.
Right. Cause they're looking for that hour. They're looking for that special. You're talking years of craft and I'm burning it all forever. for 2 years. Like,
and for this little bit of money,
right? And I gotta pay for my shit back after the 2 years. Anyway, she would have gotten written and performed by credit, EP credit, company logo credit. She agrees, of course, to market and promote the special. That's probably just in there for her, because you know, that shit that happened with that shit that happened with Lee Daniels. It's like, hey, your ass gonna have to do some interviews, Mo, because we know we gotta ask.
We can't have you not doing that.
Number 8, Netflix retains creative and business controls, including choice of production company and final cut. I mean, I can understand that, but I don't know what everyone else's deal was, right? And also, like, I would wonder if they did that with, like, Louis and Bill Burr and stuff, if they and Chappelle. My guess would be that those guys probably get final cut of their own shit. That would be my guess. That would be my guess, but I don't know for sure. Cause I mean, just in Chappelle shit, I mean, he's a legend and everything, but just from, like, some of the tone of some of the jokes, I could feel like a company executive would be like, eh, not those jokes. Take those out. You know, so I would assume he got final cut on that. And for the above, we'll pay you $500,000 for a talent fee, and Netflix will cover the production of $310,000. And then all terms confidential to the parties is 10. Which, I guess that's only if you really accept the terms, but whatever. Reserving the rights to revise the above. These terms shall expire the end of December 20th, 2017. Once closed on these material terms, I will draft the paperwork for signature. Thanks. And so basically just proved that these niggas was, the people that were saying that this, she lied about how much money she was getting and all this, it just proved that they were lying. And
she shouldn't have to do this.
Oh, right, she shouldn't have to. I feel horrible that she had that. She, I feel bad that she felt compelled to have to clear her name in this way. And people were complicit. Roland Martin was complicit. There were people going around talking shit about her and assuming the worst. Of all the things people say about Mo, though, she ain't a liar. And I think, like, you don't have to like her attitude. Mm-hmm. You don't have to like that she wants to be that she's a quote unquote diva, mm-hmm. which we call, you know.
Like the fact that she don't get along with everybody.
Yeah, you don't have to like all that shit. Mm-hmm. You really don't. You know, you don't have to want to boycott Netflix. You don't have to do any of that shit. But to call the woman a liar was a step too far. You know, cause like, she ain't, what's she lied about? If anything, people mad that she won't stop telling the truth.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can understand that point, being like, yo, you a little too loose with the truth. You got a whole code, keep some of this to yourself. That, I can understand that point more than, she a liar. And then when she proves, well, I'ma go Monique and prove to y'all I ain't lying. Oh, whoa, now you need to calm down, because see, you, that's bad business.
Yeah,
you,
what about confidentiality?
Right. Get the fuck out of here.
Then it matters.
Right. So yeah, that was a wild story, but I'm glad she cleared her name in that way, but kind of sad that she felt she had to. Let me see what else we got. Best Buy is gonna stop selling CDs later this year.
I seen that. It makes sense. Why you got this inventory in there that a handful of people are buying? That laptops don't even come with CD burners no more. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like they're actually slow. And the biggest thing, and once they do it, believe you me, Walmart will be eyeing to get rid of that shit too. When Walmart get rid of it, you know, because they always are last to move on shit like this. That's when you know it's quote unquote officially dead. Because a lot of people complaining, when was the last time y'all listened to a CD? When last time you complaining? When last time you listened to a CD? Most people have Spotify, Tidal, Apple Music, some form of Pandora. Like, you listening to some form of streaming service. Now, you do have the purists who actually still love their CDs. That, you know, so, but it's, compared to the overall population, it's a really, really small percentage. You have a lot of older people that just don't know. I remember your mama one time asked us to burn the CD. I said, baby, I'll just add you to my Spotify and Tidal before we go through all that foolishness, because the amount of money and effort it would take to do that, I could just add you to the plan cheaper and you can get all of the music. I think that a lot of people are upset because of nostalgia, which I understand, but overall, this is my opinion, upset about nothing. Most people do not listen to CDs.
Yeah. A lot of people was like, oh my God, I'm so old. But I'm like, I ain't feel this way when Laserdisc went out. I'm good. Leslie Jones says dating for her is so hard, I just feel like I might die alone.
Oh.
Yep. I think this is in Madame Noir. But yeah, she put an Instagram post where she was working out in the gym. She said, okay, so back to cardio, but confession. I feel like I'm doing it for nothing. I know it's not for nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm healthy and I look good, but I really feel like, what's it all for? If the people you want to notice you don't. I just feel like I might die alone. Sorry, that's pretty heavy today. It was actually on Twitter she put this out, you know, obviously, you know, it's something that a lot of people can identify with.
Yes, it is.
She's a 50-year-old woman. She's tall, she's dark, she's loud. A lot of the stereotypes that people use to beat down black women,
right, you know? has been thrown at her.
Mm-hmm. And some people try to encourage her and, you know, say you know, positive things. I'm not saying they shouldn't have. So a lot of people were just kind of like dismissive. You know, somebody had asked if she had talked about her dating struggles in the past, and she joked about having a secret boyfriend on the Conan O'Brien show, saying, I kind of am seeing someone, but like, it's a secret, so I don't want everybody bothering him. But then a few weeks later, she revealed on Twitter she was actually still single and wasn't having the best of luck with men. Just so everyone knows, there was never a secret boyfriend. I have terrible luck with men. Real talk, they do not like me, lol. So, you know, it was weird because like, people got into the like, girl, you beautiful, just be quiet, you know, it's fine, da da da, or you don't need no man, so I don't even know why you even da 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 da. As opposed to just let her have her feelings, like,
right, like,
hey, I ain't always a solution,
right? It's okay to feel that way. It's okay to have the desire to want a significant other, and it's okay to be like, I don't need nobody. Like, every method don't work for everybody, you know. And I think that something I realize about, particularly when it comes to black women, we just ain't allowed to feel. Everything we do got to have an instant solution.
But also, she's a dark, older, bigger black woman, so it's definitely like, shut up, basically. Don't make me have to think about you.
Right.
This goes back to, one, I still fuck with Leslie Jones. Mm-hmm. But I've forever fucked with Leslie Jones. Correct. From day one.
Yes.
But this goes back to that joke she told on Saturday Night Live that motherfuckers dismissed as some anti-black shit because they are not that. A lot of people took it in the most negative way they could possibly portray it, when it was exactly this. She's like, the stereotypes that persist today that were what made me, if it was slavery, I would be more coveted, more loved, and more protected and valued than the fucking system we have today. That's right. How fucked up shit is. And people, and she made it a joke. Got it. Was it funny, right? But it was real. It was about her real pain, and people got so embarrassed that she would dare talk about that in front of white people, and that people were laughing. And I'm like, well, that's what comedians do. They take their pain and they turn it into something funny. They take their pain, they take their personal problems, and they say, let's laugh at this together. Let me also spread this word to you. And I was like, that's some powerful shit to take that, you know. And at no point did I think to myself, oh, you embarrassing us or whatever. If mm-mm. she told that same joke in a room full of black people, we would all laugh, because we would all empathize with her as much. Like,
right.
We would also be like, yo, that you're right. It's fucked up. She was like, if it was slavery, y'all be trying to pair me with LeBron James. Like, that's because they wanted bigger, stronger, better slave.
Right.
But then she's like, but now it's all of a sudden you're ugly. You know, what's the real truth? You know what I mean? What's the real truth? You know, what's the real value system when it comes to how we judge black women and how we evaluate their beauty?
Right.
Because now it's, what's the closest thing to a white person you look like? Right? Like, what's the closest you can get to looking like a white woman? That's beautiful. Everything else, not so fucking much.
The further you get down that pole, you're less and less attractive.
Right. But so many people went off on her I think they just didn't. They didn't consider their own shame with beauty and how they look, and how, and I'm not saying everybody that look like her. I'm just saying why our system of beauty is so fucked up. They didn't want to interrogate that. Like, nobody wants to sit around and be like, yeah, why is it that we in slavery would be like, what a prize catch, right? Like, what was the fucked up about the value system then and now, you know? But it was, anyway, she said some real shit, man. And there's really no true way to fix that. Mm-mm. When you're talking to her or when you're listening to her, other than listen and let her say it.
That's it.
She's telling you her real lived experience. And people, we're so romanticized in this culture that it is very much like, don't worry, girl, you're gonna find a man or something. It's like, or maybe you don't, you know? Like, I don't know.
Okay too.
Right. Well, I mean, it's up to you if that's okay,
right,
with you.
Right.
It's the same thing I said about Ciara. She didn't have to tell nobody that shit, but she did, right? Ciara's problem was that she promoted a dude basically telling women it's a you problem. And I'm saying this week for everybody who said, well, what Ciara did, it wasn't a problem, it's no big deal. Okay, would you tell that to Leslie Jones?
Right.
Are y'all gonna tell her she's moving in the spirit of a girlfriend? Right. That's why that shit wasn't okay to say. That's why. Cause I'm not gonna tell her some fucking reductive ass shit like, it's just your mentality. Really, it's really on you. If you would just act better, like, nah, I'ma just, it's okay to be like, yo, there's an impulse that says to be romantically involved is the highest echelon of love. Romantic coupleship is the highest echelon of love in America, in our society. Yeah, and that's gonna fuck people up. It just is. You know, it's not anyone's fault. We all buy into our own shit, but it's gonna give us fucked up. It's why people stay in bad relationships. It's why people feel bad for being alone sometimes. It's why people feel like they not enough or something's wrong with them. It's, you know, you born a certain way and then it's like, and you're wrong for that. So yeah, I just felt kind of bad for her. And then I've seen a lot of people kind of like being dismissive and saying, well, this is why you shouldn't want a man, as if that's the most feminist thing you can say to somebody.
Come on.
Just, I don't know.
That's why a lot of times for some people, they just dismiss those people because they're like, okay, you're to the extreme. That's just a stupid statement.
Yeah, people are all over the place. So, and I did see people, and I'm going to just hope it's development and not just a wave, but I saw a lot of people that in the past have been super tough on her because they were almost embarrassed by her and they didn't want to explain why because they didn't want to examine that shit. I saw some of them kind of soften, and I guess overall that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I hope that's a progressive change, or maybe since you can quote unquote relate with her on this, all of a sudden you have compassion, and the second it goes quote unquote back to normal, mm-hmm. you're gonna be back to your normal behavior.
Right. So all right, man, this has been a weird episode. Let's try to see if we can do something fun. Feel like it's been kind of depressing and serious.
Nah.
How about we do some white people news, maybe? Oh wait, then I had to play a cover.
Yes, you will.
Those are never good.
Oh, so you admit it ain't good?
I mean, the response in the chat room is never good. You know, I'm not gonna do white people news.
Nah.
That's just a guest racist dad. This is a guest race. I say white people news. The last thing we can do is play a white band's cover. Oh wait, no, that's fucking black people. Alright, here we go.
Now that it's time for some guest race. That's right, it's guest race time. Now that it's time for some guest race. That's right, it's guest the race time.
Ba-da-boop. That's right, it's time for guest the race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25 for how much. Wait, no, we guess the race of the people involved, and Karen in the chat will play along in their races. All right. Oh God.
Oh, could you play the other music first?
Yeah, I got all confused. That was terrible. Why do y'all listen to this?
25 black.
All right, let's do the first one. A man with a 0.419 blood alcohol level. By the way, 0.419, the legal limit is normally 0.08.
Ooh.
Right? 0.419. Was this just bleeding alcohol? Anyway.
A walking bottle.
a Thibodeau man who was pulled over for driving the wrong way on a one-way street. He was hospitalized after officers determined his blood alcohol level was at a potentially lethal level. 36-year-old Todd Patton registered a BAC of 0.419. The DWI threshold in Louisiana is 0.08. Patton was spotted driving his white Toyota RAV4 the wrong way up 2nd Street just before 10 p.m. Damn, he got drunk early. With officers following, Patton appeared to pull over twice, but pulled away before stopping each time. He eventually pulled into a parking lot in front of City Hall. He performed poorly on a field sobriety test, gave up halfway, and told officers, "Hey, I'm going to jail anyways." At the police department headquarters, Patton began to act lethargic and had poor coordination. Officers transferred him to the hospital after his BAC was confirmed. He was booked in the Parish Detention City on a $1,050 bond. Guess the race.
I'm going white.
All right. Well, let's see what you guys think Ty Patton's race is. Kegger bro, white, chalk. People never feared for their life, white as fuck. Fuck sobriety, white. Eastbound and down, white. The correct answer is white. He had a real white name too, Todd.
Right.
But yep, that's him right there. Did it show up yet?
Let me see. Yep.
All right, that's Todd, guys.
Yeah, very dude, bro.
Mm-hmm. I like that he just went, man, fuck this sobriety test. We know where this is going.
I'm going to jail anyway while we're here.
Mm-hmm. Like, we got it, guys. Let's see. How about this one? Bryant Johnson of Casper, arrested for public intoxication, claimed to be a time traveler.
Ah!
That's a good one. That's a new one on me. Never seen that before. No, you have to listen to me. We have to save the future. If Monique doesn't get her comedy special, the whole future is in jeopardy.
He future man?
A Casper man claimed to be from the future has been arrested for having too much to drink in the present. Hey, listen, in my time, ain't no sobriety laws, okay? So I don't understand why our cars fly themselves. So I just did not know your customs.
Oh, somebody says, so he Rick.
It's me, Morty. Get in the car, Morty. Get in the car. I don't know, Rick. We shouldn't get in the car.
I got a sober pill.
No, it's totally cool. It's all cool, dog. It's totally.
I know, Rick, why are you a pickle? How can you drive? Because I'm Pickle Rick, bitch. I love that goddamn show.
Oh, man. They found Brian Johnson, who claimed he was from the future 2048 and was trying to warn the people of Casper that aliens were coming next year and they should leave as soon as possible.
Oh. So we need to get ready for the Avengers?
I guess so. He added that he wanted to speak to the president of the town.
Of the town?
In the future.
Not the United States, but of the town?
In the future, every town has a president.
Well, apparently so.
Johnson told police the only way he was able to time travel was to have aliens fill his body with alcohol and have him stand on a giant pad that transported him to 2017. But he added it up the wrong year, and it was supposed to be 2018. They also noted that he had watery, bloodshot eyes, slightly slurred speech, and smell of alcohol coming from him. Well, that just determines the future. That just confirms his story. You still haven't proved to me that he wasn't from the past, future.
Right.
I mean, did they have his, fingerprints on file now? Because if they didn't, then maybe he's telling the truth.
Maybe.
It was determined that he could not take care of himself and was causing a disturbance in the emergency room. And an early breath sample showed that he had a blood alcohol of 0.136. Guess the race of future man.
White.
All right, Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room. See what you guys believe. They don't have race in the future. It's a trick question.
Duh!
I'm Doctor Who and drunk, white. Sam Beckett on a bender, Quantum Leap, white. That's a white story. Doc Brown needed to comb his damn hair white. Blade Runner 2049 was not good, that good. Stop it, white. Voted for Trump in the future too, white. In the future, we have president, ruler, emperor Trump. All men in the future are white. They they booted his ass out the compound, white. 1.21 gigawatts white. Gigawatts white. Casper, Wyoming, Rocky Bounds, white. White, super white, white. Jerry Smith, just confused, white. The correct answer is, you guys are right, he's white. That's him.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Totally chill dude from the future. Kind of drunk. Mm. I wonder what happened to him. I feel like we need a follow-up story.
I guess they didn't clean his nose before they shipped him over.
His nose is. In the future, everybody's nose look like that, Karen.
Okay.
That's a sign of richness in the future.
Mm-hmm. Dang, like clean your nose before we send you to the future.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else we got here. A pregnant mom was refused service at a restaurant for wearing a weirdo crop top. A pregnant mother has accused a restaurant of not serving her because her belly was showing. That's a new one. I've heard breastfeeding, but when now it you can't have your belly showing? When did this happen?
I don't know.
Charisha Gobbin, who was expecting twins, told Washington local news station KIRO that Sunday she wore a black crop top with the word weirdo across the front with a long white skirt to Buzz Inn Steakhouse in Maryville. Gobbin said that after she was seated, a waitress pulled her up and recited the restaurant's dress code. The waitress bartender stopped us and said, "I'm sorry, you can't be here in that shirt." I said, are you being serious with me right now? She said, "Yep, you can't be here." The waitress said the restaurant has a no shoes, no shirt, no service policy, and that anyone in a crop top, pregnant or not, would have been asked to cover up. A crop top doesn't count as a shirt?
It does. They were just pinpointing her out.
Gobbin, who was 7.5 months pregnant with a boy and a girl, noted that she was following the rules, wearing a shirt with sleeves. "I didn't even have cleavage showing," she said, but also she said she felt body shame because her belly was bigger and sticking out. Gobbin posted a photo of herself in her offending attire outside the restaurant on Facebook. Many people have supported her and slammed the restaurant. "This is awful. I can't believe they turned you away," one user commented. "Denying a pregnant woman period is a violation." Gobbin said she was livid and wasn't trying to stick around for an explanation. In a statement, the restaurant apologized and said it would educate its staff on how not to overly enforce the rule, which it said is intended to make all guests feel comfortable.
Mm-mm. Y'all enforce the rule. Whoever was the manager, supervisor, somebody. Because I guarantee you the server, this was not the server idea. I guarantee you somebody else
sent the server down. You know what? Correct. That's a good point.
How they work. That server didn't give a fuck. They took their order and kept it trucking.
Yeah, they don't do, because the managers, you're right. The manager sends you out. You don't do that on your own volition. I just want a tip. Like, I'd serve you with your titties out. I don't give a fuck.
And they probably didn't want to go out there anyway because they didn't know she was going to cuss them out or anything. Because, not trying to funny, a lot of the food service industry, a lot of these managers they do these fucked up policies and have you go out there. Then once you get cussed out, here they come along and then say, well, they didn't know what they was doing because they don't want to take any responsibility for their actions in a lot of situations.
Yeah, she didn't stick around for the explanation either. So,
right,
it sounded like she didn't even want to talk to the manager. She was just like, bye then.
Right.
All right. Guess the race, Karen.
I'm going black.
All right. Chat room, what do you think the race of Charisha Gobbin is? Let me check the chat room, see what they believe. That name, black, no shoes. Oh, hold on. No shoes, no shirt, no belly showing, no service. Black is black, also 100 black, because they were nitpicking. It looked too African inspired. Black, educate staff. Black and ready to birth two thugs, of course.
Oh,
Coakley. Also mad Walmart Also mad Walmart locked up the regular shirts black. They ain't want her pregnant black ass in that white restaurant in Trump's America black. Black didn't want to speak to the manager black. White says really dark night. Big pregnant lady in a crop top. White says Sparger. Getting prepped for my black is beautiful commercial black and black. Most of you guys went black on this and most of you guys got it wrong. Some of y'all did say white though. Good job everyone.
It's a black ass name.
That is a black ass name. That is correct. But
yeah, because people wear shirts like this all the time.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Like, you can't eat in that shirt? What's the problem?
Yeah.
Probably sitting at a booth, your stomach's underneath anyway. Like, what?
Yeah, and I guarantee you, not trying to find it, she wasn't pregnant, they wouldn't have said a word to her.
Right. That's how it feels to me, too. All right. Let's do one more story, guys. Let me go to the bonus round music. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 2-1. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how she does in the bonus round. And most of you guys are 2-1. I don't know how to. I would have guessed black on that last one, too.
Right?
Charisha. I mean, I'll stop right there. Trust your gut, you know? Pittsburgh. Mother admits to wait, hold on, I'll just read the title. I ain't gonna lie, I did it. Mother of fourth grader threw a brick at a teacher's face and then beat her after she confiscated her 10-year-old daughter's cell phone.
Oh
is correct, Karen. Okay, sometimes you got to, somebody try to take your kid's cell phone, sometimes you got to lay the law down, you know what I mean? No.
Wow.
All right. Local police. A Pittsburgh mother who was charged after being accused of assaulting her 10-year-old daughter's school teacher has admitted to the crime. You know,
yeah, I did that shit.
We don't want no mysteries. You know.
Mm-mm. Don't give them a open and shut case.
Last thing I want is the police out here wasting police resources trying to solve a crime.
Right.
That I will happily admit to. Okay?
Yes, I will.
Like, I will cop to that joint and save all the taxpayers money in my district. Okay,
I don't want nobody wasting no money.
The most dangerous place you can live in is a place that I call,
sorry, try and get this ad to skip and then we can play the news article. But yeah, listen, don't say I cost the taxpayers no money. Okay, you tell them I
say they money.
I looks out for my local people. Okay,
all right, details on the moment this Pittsburgh public school teacher details on the moment this Pittsburgh public school teacher was attacked just minutes after leaving work. Since this story was breaking last night at 5, Channel 11's Courtney Brennan spoke with the victim's husband, and she joins us live with why he says the school knew the suspect was a potential threat to his wife. Courtney?
Yeah, Peggy, so the teacher's family says that this parent came to the school yesterday earlier in the day and verbally threatened this teacher, and they say that the school didn't do anything about it, and so when the teacher came outside, got in her car, and went to go home, then she was attacked.
I think it's terrible.
Terrible and unacceptable. That's how parents categorized the alleged attack on teacher Janice Watkins by parent DeShonta Williams.
It's unexplainable, ma'am. I really can't tell or don't know what was going through their heads at the time.
Channel 11 has learned that Williams believed Watkins choked her 10-year-old daughter after an altercation over the girl's cell phone during first period. Last night, before she turned herself in, Williams told my Channel 11 colleague Mike Holden that she followed Watkins as she left school and approached her as she sat in her car near the West End Bridge.
I did get out, and I did hit her, but I did not throw a window through. I broke through her window as they say I did. No, I did not. I punched her in her face.
Today, Williams was arrested and formally charged with aggravated assault. We spoke with her defense attorney late this afternoon.
The first thing we're going to try to do is get Ms. Williams out of jail.
Channel 11 spoke off camera with Watkins' family today, and they told me that Williams verbally threatened Watkins earlier in the day when she was called to the school for a meeting. Watkins says that Williams told her, I'm going to get you. And later that day, she was attacked.
For the mother to come and jump on the attack the teacher, that's wrong.
And so coming up tonight at 6, we're getting responses from the Pittsburgh School District and also the teachers union on these new revelations that the teacher says that she was verbally threatened before she was physically attacked. We will see you live at 6 o'clock. Reporting live on the north side, I'm Courtney Brennan.
All right, Karen. Guess the race of Deshante Marie Williams.
Oh, yes, she did it black.
Okay, all right. Whatever they saying, she did that shit.
Oh, she did it.
Don't make me have to go down to that school, black. We'll boycott Netflix, black. Love hip hop, drink throwing ass, black. Mel, is that you? Black.
Aww.
The bill is in her name. Don't take her damn phone, black. You damn right I did it, black. She gave the well first of all interview to straighten out the slap, black. Black in Pittsburgh, oh man, she should get a pass. My baby on reduced lunch, but she got that cell phone, black. Black mamas, not my baby, black. Hey, you owe me for the phone, black. I'm gonna catch you in these streets, black. The correct answer is, guys, she absolutely was black. See, these schools always say they want more parents involved in the kids' schooling, and then this is what y'all get.
She's very black.
Y'all, we need more parents that's actively involved, and then they activate on your face. Okay? Remember, this is what y'all wanted. PTA meeting gonna be awkward as fuck now. Mm-hmm. all right. Let me, play the, sore ratchetness.
Somebody said, y'all call me off my job for this bullshit, black.
Mm-hmm. And of course, she did have a neck tat.
Yeah.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
A man is accused of hitting another man with a machete during a road rage incident in Florida.
Oh, shit.
A Zephyr Hills police report says 34-year-old Jonathan Bailey was arrested Tuesday night outside of a Walmart store. The Tampa Bay Times reports that Bailey pulled his car up beside the victim's vehicle and swung a sword, cutting the man's hand. The victim told officers the incident happened because he had cut Bailey off in traffic earlier. Bailey told police he used a machete, but only because the other driver was following him. Bailey was charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon and remained in jail Wednesday on $10,000 bond. A lawyer wasn't listening to jail records. The victim had a cut on his hand between his thumb and index finger.
Oh.
Finger. Man. Be careful on these road rage incidents, man. And definitely be careful with motherfuckers with swords. All right, we'll talk to y'all tomorrow, guys. Thank you so much for listening. It was a very interesting episode. We talked about a lot of different shit.
We did.
And got kind of deep on y'all. So we'll talk tomorrow. And why did I think I have a guest coming up this week? I don't know. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll let you know about the guest.
Until then, good luck to your Super Bowl teams. Peace.
Peace.
And I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.